This session, we're not going to talk about godliness. G-O-D-L-I-N-E-S-S. This word stems from God. In the beginning, when God created man, man, woman, in his own image and pattern, image. And unfortunately, after our forefathers, Adam and Eve, sinned against God, then the Spirit of God departed from them. Okay. And after many thousand years, maybe 4,000, 6,000 years, okay, anyway, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ came down in this world from heaven, and after he crucified on the cross and ascended to heaven, and later on he descended the promised Holy Spirit upon human beings. Okay. Then now we regain the image of Christ again. So the godliness, which means have a part in God's image. Okay, have a part in God's image. So we should share the parts of God's image. Last couple of days, Pastor Liang talked about the meaning of godliness. Okay, and let's turn to James 1 and 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Usually, when we saw orphans and widows, we will have compassion. It's easy to bring forth compassion and mercy. When I was in Argentina, and we were going to meet members, and on the way, we saw young girl beggars just on the street, and he requested some alms from people, from persons by. And she was so young, and yet maybe she don't have any food to eat, no water to drink. That's why she has to stand on the street and to beg from persons by. It's so pitiful. So when we saw orphans and widows, usually easy to bring forth compassion and mercy. How about sisters and brothers? Sometimes we have in trouble, but we don't like the other members know we have in trouble. However, we should have compassion on other brothers and sisters, even regular people, our neighbors. Okay? This is very important. And the third one, on the 27th, said, and keep oneself unspotted from the world. This world is very uncorruptible. It's so defiled. Okay? So if you open a TV or newspaper, any magazine, you can see the crimes everywhere. The society is unstable. So the society is unsecure. Shooting everywhere, and fighting everywhere. Even those who proclaim that they are so righteous still have some fight, some hatred in their heart. So whoever proclaimed he is religious, then should bridle his own tongue and have compassion and keep himself unspotted from this world. Okay. And in Titus chapter 3, I think Pastor Liang also gave you such kind of message, saying we have to say yes or no to ungodliness. Ungodliness. Say yes or say no. Say no, right? Say no to ungodliness. Yeah. Right now, we are studying the godliness more deep. Okay. So let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 6. In this you will greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if it need be, you have been grieved by various trials. 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perished, through it is tested by fire. Second Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay. The divine power has given to us and contain to life and godliness. Okay. So godliness should be given by God, okay, and through the Holy Spirit. So if one person is filled with the Holy Spirit, then automatically he should pursue or he should have the godliness. Okay. Let's continue on verse 5. Also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. 7. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are used and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, it is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Okay. So from this passage, we can conclude, we can draw a couple of main points. The first point, after our sins have been cleansed by Jesus' blood, okay, then we should own the godliness from God. Okay, because this is through a promise and through the Holy Spirit. And after we have godliness, then we'll have peace and joy in our heart or in our family. Okay. So in our household, we can re-examine ourselves, okay, in our family too. If we have always, all the times, a fight in the family, or we could not enjoy peace and enjoy joy from God, then we might have some problem. Okay. Because if one person lived in godliness, then he will pursue the righteousness. Okay. And what's been righteousness? What righteousness, which means he do what is right, he does what is right, he does what is true, and he does what is good. Okay. So right and true and good. Okay. And if a person does all these things, And of course, he will have the peace and joy in the family, in your heart. Okay. In this society, it's very hard to be fair. Okay. So one time, a rich person approached Jesus Christ. He said, would you divide our possessions from me and my brothers? And Jesus refused to do that because he knew in this society there is no fair. Even two sons, in our mind, in the logic, we might think 50 and 50 will be fair, right? Because only two sons, okay, 50 and 50. But actually, if 50 and 50, for some people, it's not a fair, no fair. Because the first son, maybe he said, I helped dad to establish this kingdom of business. Okay, so I should have more. I should have more because, you know, I'm working so hard with my father, so I should get more from our father. So 50% is not enough for me. But for second son, for second brother, okay, he might think, you first brother, you older brother, you are so rich, you are so rich, I am poor, you know, I don't have anything. You have a 50%, it's not fair to you. You have a lot already. I need a 70% because you have a lot already. So 30% for you is enough. Okay. So how can you say that? Which way is it fair? So this is society, there is no fair, okay? Only in the kingdom of God. Now, in the Bible also teach us how to say no to ungodliness. Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Okay, from one hand, we should flee sexual immorality. Okay, flee, just walk away. That's why if anything is defiled in the sight of God, is unclean in the sight of God, is ungodly, we just walk away. Okay, we don't have to, there's no negotiation, there's no compromise, just walk away. Okay. Let me give you two examples. The first example is Joseph. Joseph, his master's wife tried to seduce him and said, oh, come on, we can talk, you know, and later on, we can talk together, we can, in the same room, we can sleep together, okay. But Joseph, every time, said, no, just walk away. Even his master's wife just try to hold him and try to, in the private room, every time, Joseph just walk away, say, no, there's no way. And the second case, Samson. You know the story of Samson, right? Okay. He married with a prostitute. Then prostitute, you know, such kind of woman always try to attract some gentleman. So Samson, because in the Bible didn't describe how look, how he looked like. Is it look like a handsome or look just a regular person or ugly? We didn't know. But as a prostitute, just for money, So he tried to seduce Samson. And many times, so every day after another day, day after day, day by day, just try to seduce, try to attract Samson. But Samson, he negotiated and compromise with this woman. And finally, he failed. You know, he failed. He didn't pass the test. He didn't pass the temptation. So he failed. Therefore, when we encounter temptation, we encounter any things ungodly, unclean, we just walk away, no negotiation. Okay. Then our second. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Timothy, first book, 6:11. But you, O men of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Okay. Flee these things. And these things refer to the love of money. Okay. Because the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Unfortunately, it's a part of our nature. Okay. When baby was born, they know how to be greedy. There was two baby girls sit together, okay, just next to each other, and they have a pacifier on their mouth. Okay. They're just chewing the pacifier. Okay. Each one have his own pacifier. Okay. However, one of them just stretched out his hand and grab another pacifier from another baby. Okay, just use a finger to snatch from the other's mouth. Actually, he has his own pacifier already. Can a baby hold two pacifiers in his mouth at the same time? There's no way. Right? But who told him? Nobody told him. Right? So by birth, human being has the nature of greed. Even we receive water baptism, today we might have a greed in our heart. Okay. So yeah, we have a house, we have a nice car, we have many things in our house. Now in 1988, we bought the first house, and the basement is quite big. Okay, so we decided to buy a ping pong table for us so that I play ping pong. Okay. And in the first couple of days, we are so joyful. So we play ping pong. Okay. After 1 week, okay, we just play ping pong one time a month. And after a month, we never play ping pong in the basement. So the ping pong table just idle there, just for working table. Okay, we never play ping pong anymore. So you can imagine, if God tell you, okay, if God goes into your house, then goes into your closet, and so you have many clothing in the closet. Okay, then God ask you, Linda, do you need this one? Then he say, no, God, I don't need. Okay. Do you need this one? No, I don't need. Because when you face God, right, when you face God in person, you will be content, right? Because God's there. Okay. You dare not to be greedy. But the question is, where is God? Who can I see God? Now, God is a spirit. Okay. So after we go back to NYTS, then you check all the items at your home. Xiuan needed this one. Xiuan needed that one. Many items, actually, we don't need. But we still want to hold, right? We still want to hold. Even we have to pay money, but the temptation always is there. Coupon, sales on sale, 20% off, 30% off, and so on. So in the verse 11, tell us, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Okay. The Bible tells us, all we have to seek righteousness first and the kingdom of God first. Then God will add all things we need to us. Do you believe that? If we believe that, then it will be yours. If you don't believe, then if you have to use your effort, you have to use your own time to make money to support, to sustain your life, to sustain your daily necessities. Okay. But if you trust in God, then God will take care of you. Then God will add all things to to you. So you can see, okay. Now, Pastor Huang told you already, the new pastor, the salary started from 20K. And 20K, you can imagine, 20K, I live in Chicago. The rent, the mortgage, need around 1,500, okay, 1,500. Or the rent or mortgage. Yeah. And how about it's only 500 left, and have to pay tax. So each month, after tax, maybe only around 1,800. But being a pastor, okay, why GM won't give us more money? Because GM want all pastors live under God's provision, not live under your own effort. Live under God's grace. Okay? So all pastors should experience God's grace and God's provision and God's protection. That's the reason. Okay? So in the same way, if we trust in God, just pursue the godliness, and we will lack nothing. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. If we live in godliness, then we will fear God. Then there is no want to those who fear him. We have everything. As long as we recognize Jesus Christ is our Savior, Jesus Christ is only the one who provides us everything, whatever we need, then you will feel no lack in everything. Okay, this is from God's promise. Then let's turn to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise you, your young, but be an example to the believers in word, in doctrine, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Because Timothy was so young, and there was a possibility some in church have difficulty accepting Timothy's instruction or Timothy's ministry, because he was so young. So how to overcome this issue? How to overcome this problem? How to overcome this fear? You can imagine that a boy was only 18 years old or even 15 years old. And if you try to stop some person who was over 60 years old, say, stop preaching the false doctrines. It's very hard, okay? Very tough. It's a tough job. But there's only one way. Only one way. If you are young, okay, you can talk to the old people. Talk to all members. There's only one way. The way is to set an example to all believers. Set an example. In word, whatever we talk, in word, in conduct, our behalf, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in all this, then everybody will follow you, because you set an example for everybody. Why Apostle Paul picked Timothy as his successor? Why? Because he set an example for everybody. Then 13, now I come give attention to reading, to exhortation, to document. So give attention to reading. Okay, reading is very important for worship. In the worship part, in the old times, not many Bibles allowed people to read. Okay. So there is only one Bible in the whole synagogue. So someone have to come out and then read aloud to all congregations, because there's no Bibles for all congregations. It's only one. And today, actually, same way, we have to read the Bible. I know in St. Louis Church and the other church, they have read the Bible every Sabbath morning. Okay, because usually when we read the Bible, just look. Okay, we didn't read out loud. We didn't read out loud. Okay. And what's the difference when you look, when you look the Bible, you just look, right? Not speak, not read out loud. What's the difference? If you read aloud, then will help you to keep it in your mind. Okay, you will know what you are reading. If you just look, you know, just look, right? Even the whole chapter, like morning, like, every morning we have on the some Bible reading on the board on the screen, and even many counselors say, even you spend a half hour to read, but end up I don't know what I'm reading, because didn't read aloud. So in the old times, they usually have someone to read the Bible for everybody, and everybody just follow. Like I say, now give attention to reading, then everybody follow me. Say, giving attention to reading, okay, follow, and then keep it on their mind. Okay. So sometimes we have to read aloud. Okay, you home, in a church, in anywhere. It's a good thing. Okay. Then to exhortation, especially when I say reading. Okay. English is your first language, right? Right, English is good. For me, it's a second language. So for me, I have to read English Bible aloud. Okay, it will help me. And in the same way, when you want to learn Chinese or learn Spanish, learn the other language, in the same way, you have to read aloud. Okay, like a Chinese Bible or a Spanish Bible, okay, German Bible, any kind of Bible, just read aloud. Yeah. And exhortation and document. Okay, not document. Yeah, document, same. Yeah, doctrine. Okay, doctrine is the document of faith. Document of faith. Yeah. We have five major doctrines in our TJC. Five major doctrines, and how to draw all the five major doctrines together. How the doctrines? You know, some parts in this book and some in the other book and some in the other book. So we have to study, then collect all the information together. Then we call doctrine. Okay. So how to memorize the doctrine? Like last session, you have a personal evangelism. Okay. Then if somebody asks you, you have an answer to someone. Okay. In the First Peter, encourage us, we have to be prepared. Be prepared, be ready to answer anyone who asks us. Okay? Be ready. Okay? And when I come in and saw one group here, and they got a question already. Then nobody answered the question. Everybody just find the Bible, just turn the Bible around. You know? Hey, in where? Okay? How? What can I answer your questions? So, just, you know? Yeah. Even after 1 hour, you still could not answer questions. Because what's been doctrine? Doctrine is a collection all the teachings together. So you need to study systematically, from here, from there. Then you put notes, take notes, right? Like water baptism, okay, take notes. Why and where and how, and if somebody has some questions, how should I answer them? Okay. So if they take notes for the doctrines. So take your time, unless you devote yourself to all doctrines, study doctrines. Then we can preach the gospel. Otherwise, it's just talk on the just paperwork. Then verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Entirely. Okay. Whole beings to them. That your progress may be evident to all. Even Paul was so young, but he make progress every day, daily and daily, every day, day by day. Okay. We'll finish chapter 4. Then now move on chapter 5. Chapter 5 is talking about how to take care of widow, because we just mentioned in 1 James chapter 1, verse 27, whoever proclaims he is religious, he is godly, then he should take care of widow and orphans. Okay. So how to take care? Chapter 5, verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents. Okay. So if you only have a single grandparents or parent, then you should repay your parents first. Okay, then learn to show piety at your home. The Bible tells us to learn, okay, to learn. The human being relationship is very tough, okay? It's a tough lesson for us. Okay? It's easy to manage items. It's easy to manage material. Okay? Like I have 10 books, right? I have 10 books. I can pile up all together. I can make it very neat. Make all the book very neat, because the book, the material is lifeless, lifeless. They don't have a life, they cannot talk. Even which book is under, it's underneath, they won't complain, right? If you pile up 10 and the last one on the bottom, they say, hey, hi, how come you put me last? Oh, it's so burden, book crush me. I feel painful. Put me first, I want to be first. No. Because they are loveless. They don't have a life, okay? But for human being, you know, in the picture days, right? All the picture, all the pastors, I say, pastor, sit down here, sit down there, right? Even pastor, oh, no, you sit here, right? You sit here. Everybody's so humble, right? Everybody's so humble. Yeah? So it's very tough to manage people, yeah? But Bible tells us, we have to learn, okay? To learn. To show your piety at home first. So we have to have good reputations at home and at the church and at your community. Okay, your community. Some people, they have a good reputation at the outside community, the outside church. Outside home, not at home. Yeah, it's either in church or outside community. But at home, there's some husband. I admire some husband. I said, you are so nice. You are a nice husband. I told to his wife. And his wife told me back. I said, no, it's outside. Always he show kindness to people. But at home, every day, talk a lot every day to me, and show disrespect to me every day. So it's different. So the dual personality is not good, okay? So at home, we should have a good reputation among members, family members, okay? So your children will say, oh, my father is a good father. Your wife will say, my husband is a good husband, okay? In the same way, your wife, you will say your wife is a good wife. In the family, good reputation. In the church, also good reputation. In the community, good reputation. Okay. So all the same. So we have to learn how to handle the relationship among us. One brother complained a lot because the gossip about his family just spread, circulate all the congregations. So he complained, how come, how did everybody know my home affairs, my house affairs? How did everybody know? How? Did you, stick your ear along their wall and then to listen what they are talking about? No, because husband is a big mouth. Husband is talk everybody in the chapel, in the church. So we have to learn how to handle the situation, how to improve the human being relationship. Okay. Then, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those who of his household, and he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. If you want to take care of your family members, then the Bible tells us it's worse than an unbeliever. So in the last day, you will receive a more severe punishment, okay? Because you are a believer, you should set an example to others. But instead, you didn't, okay? So in the Matthew chapter 5, tells us, we are the light, right? We are the light of the world. And the light of the world should shine upon his own family first, and then outside, okay? The light, okay, the lamp, like this way, right? The light here, and then just shine yourself first. Shine yourself first, and then shine upon your family, then to outside. Okay. So we should take care of our household first, then gradually, then toward the outside, outside communities. Okay, then we skip to chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. There are many bondservants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed too. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brothers, but rather serve them because those who are benefit are believers and beloved, teach and exhort these things. Okay. How many of you ever work for brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters company. Okay. When you work for brothers and sisters company, then you have to take more effort to work for them. Okay. So you have to show more respect and obey to them, do whatever the employer says and requires, okay? And do a job and do it well, okay? So set a good example for unbelievers. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians verse 22. Colossians chapter 3 verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So we work for our employer. Actually, we got to pay from our employer, not from the Lord. Okay? But when we work, you will consider you work for the Lord, not just for the men. And many people, when their supervisor out of town or not in the presence, not in the office, then they just talk everywhere. They just talk to their colleague, you know, co-worker, and maybe they went out to shopping, you know, because my supervisor is not in the office. Okay. But for we as Christians, this is not good for us. So even our master, even our employer, even our manager, our supervisor is not in the office, we still have to do our job well, okay, we have to be setting a good example for others, okay? Because we work for the Lord, okay? Then the Lord will reward you. Let's turn back to Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know why? Because we have the promise of this life and the life to come. Okay. So, if we live in godliness, then we will lack nothing. And we also have the eternal life.
So it's a great gain. Then verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of this world. Okay. So there is a stage of birth, and there is another stage of death. Okay. We didn't bring anything when we was born. Okay. We didn't bring anything into this world, right? When you was a baby, and you're just crying, right? It's wah, 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 and you're crying. And then nothing bring up, right? Nothing, yeah. One story, this, okay. One housewife, it's a midwife, yeah, midwife. There was a midwife to help a woman to deliver baby, right? And the baby's parents is a pastor, So their parents, the baby's parents, pocket dipped, okay? And the baby came out, and baby still hold like the fist, hold the fist, they won't release. And his parents say, hey, this baby has some problem, you know? Why do you hold his fist all the time? Yeah. So they use all the force to open his fist, but he cannot, okay, he couldn't. Right? So they just figure another way, and maybe just use a toy, like a toy to draw his attention, and then if he have a new toy, okay, then he may release his fist, okay. Then when he release his fist, and suddenly a ring, a diamond ring, just drop from his fist. And who's the diamond ring? Diamond ring is a mean wife, okay? Mean wife's diamond ring. Where we are, huh? I say, when we was born, right? We didn't bring anything to this world, okay? Even this baby, he hold the diamond ring, but diamond ring is belong to mean wives, okay? Not belong to his parents, because his parents is a pocket lift, okay? So himself, the gene, we say gene inherited to his baby. Okay, and then we also have, there is another stage of death. So birth and death, okay? When we leave this world, we cannot bring anything, take anything with us, okay, out of this world. How about between birth and death? There's a long period, right? Okay. This is our life. Okay, this is our life. And how much do we need during our life? How much do we need? Necessity. Okay? The daily necessity. So the Bible tells us, verse 8. And having food and clothing, with this we shall be content. Food and clothing should be content. We are here to enjoy not meals, okay? And imagine, if we live in dormitory, if we live in dorm, okay, how many of you live in dorm? Raise your hand. In dorm, okay, good. Did you cook every meal? Huh? No, right? Nothing, yeah. You didn't cook every meal, yeah. How about if we did not cook a meal, then what happened to you? You just, okay, maybe left over, or just bread, right? It's enough for you. See, the life is enough for you. The necessity like this is enough for you. How many sofa, how many furniture in your room? Not many, maybe just one chair, right? One table and one chair is enough for you. Right? Therefore, verse 8, and having food and clothing with this, we shall be content. Okay, let me finish. Okay, let me finish. Then 17. Commend those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. 18. Let them do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. Okay. One day you will become wealthy. Okay. We have a lot of money. And then on 18, okay. Let them do good. Okay. And ready to give, ready, willing to share. Okay. So you have set some money for doing good. Okay. You should not put all the money in the properties, all the money in the bond, all the money in the 股票, stocks, yeah. In the stock, okay. You have to set aside some money ready to give to do good. Okay, so ready to give and willing to share, okay. Let's pray in silence.